Wow. What a great song of praise. And a tough act to follow. But, hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Jealous authorities threaten the apostles, who cannot be dissuaded from sharing the good news of Jesus' resurrection. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go. Stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 111. It is found on page 4. We will read in response after the asterisk. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever. He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the lands of the nations. The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever because they are done in truth and equity. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ stirs up both the heavens and the earth, and it disrupts life among the Roman citizens and Jewish peasants, as well as the host of heaven. A reading from the Revelation to John. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. My friends know that I'm a music guy, so I'm not really a musician, I'm a bass player. But thank you, that's supposed to be funny. With this wonderful music that we've had this morning, feels very praiseworthy to me. Wonderful time we're having together in the presence of the Lord. As I said, I'm a music guy, and I have a particular affinity for jazz and swing and big band music. I think it was my parents brought me up with the Dorsey Brothers and Glenn Miller, probably before any people that were, before anyone in this room were popular. But anyway, murmuring in the choir. You remember those guys? Oh, good, good. But I have a very neat recording of, believe it's Song of India, by Tommy Dorsey, probably recorded in the late 30s or early 40s. And if you listen carefully to this recording, Someplace about two-thirds of the way through the song, Dorsey plays a wrong note. It's a little bit of a sour note. It's subtle, but it's there. I've listened to this over and over again to try and catch that, and it's, by golly, there's a mistake. And it's in the recording. And I thought to myself how it must have been to record a big band back in the 30s or 40s, and the technology was very unsophisticated, and it was difficult, and it was expensive. And they probably said, okay, we got this whole thing, and it's perfect except for that one note. We're just going to print it. We're just going to have it be that way. In the sense, because that wrong note is there, it gives that recording a ring of truth. Hearing is believing. This wasn't some computer-generated thing. This was real people playing real music on real instruments. And there was that mistake, and it was in there, and it gives it the ring of truth. Hearing is believing, just like we used to say, seeing is believing, and the disciples were saying, and Thomas was saying, unless I see Jesus, unless I see his hands, if I touch those wounds, if I see that injury in his side, I'm not going to believe. I got to see it to believe it. And now, even my friend Al, who lives over here in North Olmsted, can record a band in his basement using his laptop computer and some other things. And when the band plays the song, if there's a wrong note in there, electronically and digitally, he can pull that note out, throw it away, and put the right note in. There's even such things as pitch correctors that can do this in real time. If there's a singer who's singing a song, they sing into a microphone, it goes into a pitch corrector, and if they're off key, it fixes it. Pretty cool. Perfect. Real? Not so much. In this case, hearing might not be believing. Through the wonders of Photoshop and other things, even photographs can be faked. Recordings can be faked. Video can be faked. We hear about fake news. We hear about redacted documents. And you begin to wonder, what is it that you can believe? Seeing isn't believing anymore. Hearing may not be believing anymore. It can all be fake. Wonder if the disciples thought that they were being somehow tricked. When Jesus came and stood among them in a room where the doors were shut and locked and said, here I am, fellas, and peace be with you. I'm leaving my peace, receive the Holy Spirit, and be at peace. Their response was to say, my Lord and my God, along with Thomas. But surely they had that moment of saying, can our eyes be deceiving us? Can this really be the Lord? Can this be our rabbi, our teacher, our friend, our master? Is this him standing among us? And how can you believe these words? When we hear words in the world today, or we see pictures, or we see things going on, and we're not sure, and we're sometimes confused, and we wonder in this very complex, conflicted world in which we live, how is it that we can trust what we hear or what we see? We go back to Jesus and the disciples. Because in what we hear and what we see, in what we process as we take in this information that's coming at us from all angles, we must ask ourselves two things. One, is it consistent with what Jesus said? The recorded words that have been around for thousands of years now? Is it consistent with his teachings? Is it consistent with what he shared when he was walking on earth? And the second question is, does it give me peace? Now, peace is not maybe the same as comfort, because you can be very uncomfortable and still be at peace. Not just great musicians are my heroes, but also Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You may know of or have heard of him, Lutheran pastor, immediately before and during World War II. Bonhoeffer was opposed to the Nazi government. He was jailed, imprisoned, and in April of 45, he was executed by hanging. Dare say, being in jail during the Nazi regime in Germany in World War II was probably not a comfortable place to be. But it's recorded that on the morning when he was to be hanged, the prison guards came to get him. He read from Psalms. He prayed. He walked in peace to the gallows and to his death. How so? How could this be? I think because he knew that his Lord had been faithful to him, and that he, in turn, to the best of his ability, had been faithful to his Lord. His response was to do what he thought was right in the midst of conflicting and complicated situations, in the midst of possibly getting into trouble, in the midst of facing perhaps death, martyrdom, and yet hearing those words of Christ saying, "Follow me, follow me. Abide in me and allow me to abide in you, and I will give you peace that the world cannot give. I will breathe into you my spirit, the very Holy Spirit of God, that you might have power to do the deeds that are not recorded in the book of John. But the ones that are recorded show us the way, the path, the truth of believing in Christ, the Son of the living God." We just passed Easter, and we continue in the Easter season. We're wearing the white paraments on our altar and white stole of resurrection, and we, friends, live in Easter every day. The world speaks to us of death. The world speaks to us of conflict. The world speaks to us of falsehood. But Jesus speaks to us of life, of truth, and of peace. So I say, as Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not fear, but believe. And peace be with you." Amen. Please stand as you are able, and as we have heard God's word read and proclaimed, let us join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people is Form 2 today. It's found on page 7 in your bulletin. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people, especially Pastor Paul. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask for your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Please join me in the following prayer. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And may the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, a shout out to Pastor John. So, you know, you are a gifted chaplain. Maybe you should consider being a chaplain. Oh, wait, you are.
There might be a career in it, maybe.
Awesome message this morning. Thank you for that message of peace. Not comfort, peace. Awesome job, God. Thank you. I have a shadow here. And he's either going to, I don't know what he's going to do. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Spend our money.
I do that too. In your bulletin, if you notice on the back of it, secure your church. I went to a seminar. It was Safe and Secure, Protecting Your House of Worship at the Mandel Jewish Community Center, Stonehill Auditorium. A very good seminar. And one of the things they said you could do very easily in your house of worship was secure your building after the service starts. So we talked about this on vestry, and the ushers will now lock the doors about 15 minutes after the service. And it'll be up to them if anybody comes in, and we can see anybody coming in late, let them in. There is a doorbell on the front, there's one on the hall door, but the doors will be locked, and it's one of the measures you can take to secure your building. So I thought it was a very worthwhile endeavor. We discussed it at vestry, and we're gonna try that and see how that works out. That's it, Mr. McCormick, all yours.
You know, unfortunately, what happened yesterday or Friday in Los Angeles at the synagogue there is just an indication of why Ray is saying what he's saying. Houses of worship really aren't often, sometimes, safe places to be. So we need to be good stewards and take those special actions. Pete?
Morning. A couple of things. I want to thank everybody that came last night to the stir fry. I think we had a good time. And I think that Jason and Koa Evans did a magnificent job of preparing the meal for us. Secondly, gentlemen of Advent, it's time to gather again. We're going to go to Bootleggers restaurant in Columbia Square. Columbia Station, on May 20th. This is right next to Mallard Creek Golf Course, which if I work it right, I'll be able to play there and go to dinner at the same time. It's at 6:30. Hope you all can join us. Mother's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. So I hope you'll all come, because we are going to do something a little bit different for Mother's Day, not the same old thing. This is going to be part of the ongoing series of meals that we will be sponsoring at Advent through the entire year. So something is going to be going on every month. Last but not least, you know that Jennifer and I sing in the choir here, but we also sing in the Pioneer Ridge Del Webb Community Glee Club. And we have a concert coming up on May 17th, which is a Friday night. This is a wonderful assembly of songs of Americana, which feature songs by Cole Porter, Gershwin, things like Singing in the Rain, Ain't Misbehavin', God Bless America, and a tune from My Fair Lady. So it's a wonderful experience to come to. The only thing is that there's a cover charge of $5 a head at the door. So if you can come on May 17th, we'd love to have you. It's at the First Baptist Church in Elyria, which is at the intersection of Route 10 and Route 301. It's easy to get to. It's about 20 minutes from here. And it seats 1,000 people. So if you would like to get a seat now, fine. We can get you tickets. That's it.
Good.
I'm off the clock.
All right. Good. Thank you, sir. Tommy Dorsey, is he part of that? John? Is Tommy Dorsey part of that same Americana era? Yep. Okay. I just said, I'm not. I wanted to know. Okay. Two more things. Today's Church in Babylon discussion is on sexual preference. There's a little write-up in the bulletin about it. We'll meet in the Sunday school wing right after the 10 o'clock service. You're welcome to come and take part in this discussion. As I've written in the bulletin, there's some teases in there about what we're going to be discussing. It's certainly been eye-opening and humbling for me to prep this session, so I encourage you to come. Finally, we have six lonely flowers in the parish hall left over from last Sunday. So if you signed up for one of the flowers and didn't take it home last Sunday, please take it home with you today. If not, we'll find good homes for the ones that are left. So, peace be with you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly we are bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing to this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory, it's yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. May this body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face smile upon you, and may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and with favor, and may the Lord grant you peace. Amen.
Where does that go? Yeah, I am.
You just put it out and leave it there.
Oh, okay. I made a wish. Peace and comfort.